Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by old people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR, 8:55am. My name's Shane, I'm here with Fiona. How's it going, Fiona?
Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I have a short story to introduce the episode.
Okay.
I'm springing this on you. I didn't tell you in advance. I'm sure it's making you anxious.
It is.
Recently, I caught up with my dad, and he told me a story about one of his neighbours who is a landlord. Incidentally, a landlord, you know. She's also retired. And she had a tenant. And she put the rent up, and the tenant, in response, asked for a whole bunch of repairs. And, you know, I was getting this, like, from her perspective filtered through my dad, but she very self-righteously felt that it was so unreasonable for him to insist on all these petty little repairs that she decided to sell the house and evict him. And it was striking to me to get that landlord's perspective, because obviously from my point of view, she is in fact required by law to do the repairs. The repairs are an entitlement. They're a right that the renter has. The renter is entirely justified in asking for them. But she obviously had this real outrage about it, as if it was so unreasonable for him to assert his rights that it was perfectly fine for her to evict him in response. And the point of this story was that actually she'd run into some trouble, and that VCAT was not keen to throw out her renter just because she wanted him out for asking for too many repairs.
Mm. That's very good segue into our interview, Shane. Well done.
Thank you.
We're talking about retaliatory evictions for renters, so perhaps we can go straight into that interview and we can chat more in a moment. We're joined today by Emily Southwell, who is the principal lawyer at Annika Legal. How are you going this morning?
Good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, really good. I was wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about Annika Legal and what it is that you do.
Yeah, sure. So Annika Legal is a community legal centre and a registered charity. And we provide free ongoing legal advice and support to Victorian renters in relation to disputes arising under the Victorian Residential Tenancies Act. We're also Australia's first digital-first CLC, using technology, law students and pro bono lawyers to deliver what is a fast, scalable and effective legal service. Since launching, we've helped thousands of renters stay safely housed, and we use our casework data to drive systemic reforms that make renting fairer. And Annika, our vision is a world where everyone can access justice, and we definitely utilise innovation and technology to help achieve that goal.
So what does the digital first model look like for a renter who's coming to you with an issue in a rental property?
Yeah, so it's an online service. So they basically submit an intake through our website, and then their case on our end is assigned to a dedicated paralegal who's going to be their point of contact. And that paralegal is a law student placed with Annika through our partner universities. And the work that the paralegal does on the file is overseen by a supervising lawyer, which could be an Annika employee or one of our seconded lawyers from our partner law firms. From the renter's perspective, they'll be engaging with us predominantly over emails and over the phone, so they can basically access legal advice and support from the comfort of their own home at a time that suits them, and we find that this is really helpful for a lot of renters who are, you know, dealing with other things in their lives, like caring responsibilities, like full-time work. So in that sense, the digital model helps us to meet people where they're at.
What sort of issues are people coming to you with, or what are the most common issues, I guess?
Yeah, so we have, at the moment, we're running a bond service, which helps renters to get their bond back at the end of a tenancy. We also have a repairs service, which helps renters to get repairs either urgent or non-urgent performed in their rental properties. And we're also running our eviction service at the moment, which helps renters to challenge a retaliatory eviction.
So that's the main thing that we wanted to talk to you about today. So, yeah, can you tell us a bit more about that? Like, what is it? And also, where did it come from? Like, what was the need that you were identifying that led you to set it up?
Yeah, so at the moment we're running our FEAR project, which is an acronym that stands for Fear of Evictions Action Research Project. So it tackles a hidden driver of housing insecurity, which is that renters are too afraid to assert their rights for fear of eviction and the risk of homelessness that creates. So through this project, we are providing free ongoing legal advice to renters who've received a retaliatory eviction. And then through that casework, we're conducting action research into how that fear stops renters from exercising their rights under the law, for example, by requesting repairs, challenging a rent increase, or enforcing like the minimum standards in their home. So what we'll be looking at through this project is using our findings through our data collection to push for systemic reforms, which make housing safer and more secure for everyone, to try and keep people in their rental properties and in their homes. And that project is being delivered in partnership with the Council for Single Mothers and Children, Housing for the Aged Action Group, and the Consumer Policy Research Centre. Why we started the project is the numbers are quite stark. 44% of renters report that the fear of being evicted is something that prevents them from asserting their rights, and 68% of renters worry that asking for repairs could trigger a retaliatory response from their rental provider, whether that's an eviction or a rental increase. And at the moment...
I was just going to ask, it must be quite hard to define that it's retaliatory. Do you have... what's to stop the landlord from just saying, oh, we were going to put the rent up anyway, or we were going to issue an eviction notice anyway, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that you asked for repairs? How do you define that?
Yeah, and we certainly find that the legislation's quite silent on this issue around retaliation. The way that we're scoping our evictions cases is in that early triage stage. We're screening our potential clients by asking targeted questions to ascertain whether in the 6 months preceding receiving the NTV, whether or not they did assert any rights. And then also asking really targeted questions to understand the current relationship with the rental provider and the property manager, and whether there's been a deterioration in that over recent times that may also suggest retaliation. It's a hard thing to quantify, certainly, and it's something that we want to be able to pull out, obviously without knowing what the data will show yet, but we want to be able to pull out whether or not the legislation could better monitor this and provide a little bit more guidance around when something is considered retaliatory and when it's not. Essentially, what we are seeing is that with the ban on no-fault evictions being rolled out in staggered reforms throughout this year, which we do think is a great step towards ensuring some safety and stability in rental properties, we are seeing that rental providers are using things like renovation, selling a property, or moving in a manner that could be suggestive of retaliation. So we are hoping that we'll, at the end of this project, have some data around that to show whether or not the protections that are being built into the legislation are sufficient to prevent those reasons being used where there may not be a genuine intention of actually doing what the rent provider says they're going to do.
And is that something that you're able to, I guess, monitor, or can the renter monitor it afterwards? So, for example, go back to the property and see if they really have renovated or moved in?
Yeah, and this is another area for potential reform, because there is a penalty provision built into the legislation which does allow VCAT and Consumer Affairs Victoria to enforce a penalty against a renter provider, for example, in circumstances where they say the property's been being sold and that's why the renter's being evicted, however it ends up on the rental market within the next 6 months again. There is a penalty provision there. However, what we are seeing in these early stages is that it's not very practical. It's not a practical mechanism for consumer affairs to be able to even monitor compliance.
Mm.
And we don't want to see a reverse onus where that does become the rental, the renter's responsibility to constantly be monitoring those sort of compliance issues. It is the regulator's role, in our view. And so we are looking at that very closely. And through the project, we are actually monitoring that sort of compliance to on behalf of our clients, and we're able to hopefully collect some data around whether or not non-compliance does occur commonly.
I mean, that's interesting because I know that when Consumer Affairs set up their rental task force that's supposed to enforce some of the offence provisions in the RTA, one of their priority areas is what they call dodgy evictions, and they mean specifically that, notices to vacate where the property is relet within the period where that's prohibited. And my recollection is that the most recent set of stats that I saw for that was that they had issued, you know, many infringements for other offences under the Act, especially minimum standards, but no infringements for so-called dodgy notices to vacate.
Yeah, and I think that's an issue. Again, practically, how would Consumer Affairs be aware that reason was given under a notice to vacate, particularly in circumstances where it didn't go to a possession order hearing, in circumstances where the notice was given for a particular reason and the renter just complied and moved out? That notice is never before CAV, it's never before the tribunal either. So there's really a difficulty there with monitoring that compliance. And even where the matter proceeds to a possession order hearing, and VCAT is certainly aware of what, say, the rental provider's suggesting is going to happen at the property, there seems to be a breakdown there between the tribunal and the regulator in how will this be reported to them and how will it be monitored. And once again, we don't want that onus to fall to renters who are already stressed enough by the event of a possession order hearing and the potential eviction. We want that to be something that the regulator monitors and has a really like effective system for monitoring on an ongoing basis.
So the FEAR project, you've got a system in which you're trying to identify clients or renters who may be worried about being evicted if they raise issues. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you're collecting the data? Is it through interviews or is it just statistically based? Do you have any anecdotes that you can share?
Yeah, so from our end, through our intake form, we're collecting that data from the moment a renter submits an intake with us. And then once the case is opened with us, we conduct throughout the life cycle of a case what we refer to as an empowerment survey, and it's checking at every stage, specifically in relation to the fear of asserting rights, how the renter is feeling at every stage of the life cycle of the case, whether or not they're feeling empowered through the service to be able to handle a similar dispute without assistance in the future. And what we hope there to be able to show is whether or not these are matters that people are able to tackle themselves. Obviously, our clients self-represent at VCAT with our support and advice, and VCAT's supposed to be an environment where self-represented litigants are able to do that. However, there's so many stresses related to attending a tribunal hearing, particularly in relation to a possession order hearing, on your own and having to make what are relatively complex legal arguments, whether it's in relation to the reasonable and proportionate test or the validity of a notice. And so we're checking at every stage whether or not the renter is feeling empowered by the service and whether there are antidotes to the fear of retaliation. And, for example, whether or not the understanding of your rights helps to reduce that fear, whether or not engagement with services helps to reduce that fear. And then where those sort of assistance don't make a massive shift in the level of fear that the renter experiences, well, then we have to look at the legislation and potential reforms to see how it can better ensure that renters are able to advocate for themselves and in those proceedings and also in general without fear that they're going to be facing some sort of retaliatory response from the rental provider or the agent.
When you say reforms, and I realise it's quite early in the project and it might be sort of premature to talk about this, do you mean reforms to, you know, the provisions of the Act that govern eviction and in what circumstances, you know, what protections there might be? Or do you mean, because you've also talked about how intimidating the tribunal can be for people, do you mean reforms to the sort of dispute resolution mechanisms that are available?
Yeah, it's essentially it's both, and it will, as you've noted, it'll depend on what comes out in the casework. However, at this early stage, as I sort of mentioned earlier, we are seeing that even recent reforms, recent reforms mean that rental providers soon will be prevented from ending an ongoing tenancy without a valid reason. In our view, that's an important step towards greater security, but problems still remain. Many renters are still receiving notices to vacate for reasons like planned repairs, renovations, sale of the property, rental provider moving in, and these notices can still be given in a retaliatory manner, for example, after a renter challenges a rent increase or requests repairs. And again, there's also the enforcement piece that we discussed earlier. So there's potential for legislative reform certainly there. But, of course, there's always reform opportunities available for the actual procedural conduct of these matters. The documentary evidence requirements can always be improved. Again, it's going to depend on what comes out in the casework and the data, but at this early stage, what we're seeing is that even in circumstances where a renter receives a notice to vacate at an early stage, and the notice is on its face invalid for whatever reason, we can advise the client not to panic and this is okay, here's a plan forward. However, the threat of eviction is still looming large in their life every day. The uncertainty is very destabilising. They're now spending a lot of energy engaging with a legal service to strategise about how to handle this moving forward. So there's definitely reform opportunities in just how these matters run through hearings and in any event.
Yeah, and you've obviously identified that some people have particular, I guess, barriers or disadvantages or maybe particularly vulnerable. You've identified the Council to Single Mothers as being one of those partner groups, and of course we're working with older people. What is your view around those sort of vulnerabilities and how they intersect in the renting space?
Yeah, certainly. I a large and fastly growing cohort across all of our service areas is single mothers. We do see that they are coming to us a lot for assistance, and in our view, it could also be due to the remote nature of our service. As I said before, the ability to access legal services from your home and not have to, you know, visit an on-site location and be able to, you know, receive a call from a lawyer after work hours and things like that might be why we see such a growth in that client cohort. It also could largely be due to the particular vulnerability of that cohort, and there's a role that single mothers play in advocating for safety in their home on behalf of their children and whoever's living with them as well, which could also be a real indicator of potential for retaliation. With older clients, we definitely see that fear is something that's ever present. There's a real concern about the risk of homelessness that sharpens when you're at past a certain age. And then again, in our client cohort, we always see a massive amount of international students as a large portion of our cohort. And we also have a lot of people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. So very vulnerable people who we don't want to see being forced out of their homes and potentially into a homelessness situation.
So what's the timelines? When will the report be released, and how can people find out more?
Yeah, so we're running the project over 2 years. So at the moment, our eviction service is live. If a renter is listening and needs help, you can visit anikalegal.com, which is A-N-I-K-A, legal.com. And if you've received a notice to vacate from your rental provider, you can start a case through our website by uploading a copy of the notice to vacate and putting in your details through our intake form. And then broadly, our work is supported through donations and partnerships, which make it all possible. And you can receive more information about that through our website as well.
That's great. Thanks so much for coming on today, Emily. It's been really great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you stressed about your home loan? Right now, more Victorians than ever are stressed about home loan repayments. If you're going through a period of temporary financial hardship, you can ask your lender for hardship assistance. Lenders can agree to reduce your interest rate, extend the term of your loan, freeze interest, put a temporary hold on payments, or reduce your payments. If you only own one property that you live in, and either you are affected by family violence or your household earnings are less than $75,000, contact Mortgage Stress Victoria for free help from a lawyer, social worker, or financial counsellor on 1800 572 292 or www.mortgagestress.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
City Limits. Brought to us by the People's Committee for Melbourne every Wednesday at 9 a.m.
City Limits is Melbourne's only hour devoted to our urban environment,
to transport and planning and housing issues,
to privatisations and our utility services,
to building and or maintaining a sense of community. 855 on the AM band, if we can hear it through the noise and find it through the smog.
City Limits.
Welcome back. You're listening to Raise the Roof, Housing for the Aged Action Group's show about older people's housing on 3CR. That's 855 on the AM dial or on digital streaming, 3cr.org.au. So Shane, you were going to tell us a little bit about what we're seeing for older renters.
Yeah, I mean, HAG does in some ways similar work to what Emily was talking about, working specifically in our case with older renters. So we do see a lot of older renters who are receiving notices to vacate. Often that's why they're contacting our service. And ideally, we're able to provide both housing support, you know, outreach workers who can help them with looking for other housing, especially public and social housing, but also a tenancy service that's aims to prevent an eviction or, failing that, to delay any eviction long enough for them to be rehoused. And yeah, definitely seeing some of the same things that Emily was talking about. We see a lot of older renters getting notices to vacate for the landlord to occupy or for the property to be sold, things like that. Especially, you know, in the group that we work with, older people have often held their tenancies for a really long time, for, you know, 10 or 20 years in some cases. And we see a lot of situations where they had a pretty good relationship with the former landlord who's now passed away or moved into care, and that person's family is now managing the property. And, you know, either want to radically increase the rent, want to renovate, want to sell, whatever it is they're going to do. So Emily touched on this sort of in passing, but one of the main things that we're working with is the reasonable and proportionate test, which is part of the process for getting an eviction order through VCAT or a possession order, is that the tribunal has to be satisfied that it's reasonable and proportionate in all the circumstances to make the possession order.
And that's maybe for listeners that don't know, what's a possession order?
It's an eviction order.
Right.
So historically, that wasn't the case. It used to be that, except in very limited circumstances, if a landlord gave you a valid notice to vacate, the tribunal would have to order that you're evicted from the property. They had no discretion about it. Now they do have that discretion, and it takes the form of this decision. Is it reasonable and proportionate in all the circumstances? And that can look at things like the hardship that a renter would experience if they were evicted, whether they might become homeless or whether they have other options, whether there are medical or other issues that might compound the seriousness of that for a person. And also, you know, conversely for the landlord, what are the impacts on them if a possession order is not made? You know, do they have 20 other investment properties that they could do something with instead? Or are they in a terrible financial crisis and this is the only way out? the tribunal does also, you know, there's a list of factors in the law that they have to consider in deciding this. One of them is the conduct of the landlord, if that's relevant. So that's where stuff like retaliation can be part of an argument, and the tribunal can look at, you know, it does really seem like you're giving this person the notice because they've asked for repairs, and the tribunal doesn't care for that. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, we cannot contact you outside of work hours like Annika Legal can, but if you would like to talk to someone at HAG about renting issues, you're very welcome to give us a call. We'll give out the contact information in just a minute. One thing that we are seeing with the reasonable and proportionate test a fair bit is that, again, it used to be that the tribunal's only option was to make a possession order. Now they have discretion to consider whether there are other orders they could make instead. And we're seeing that sometimes that leads them to make an adjournment order, which basically just says, okay, the renter's looking for another place, they need some more time, we'll just adjourn this for a few months and they'll probably move out themselves and we won't actually have to evict someone. And so far, we have pretty mixed feelings about this direction from VCAT, because, you know, it's good for someone who might otherwise have been evicted, but we sometimes see situations where we don't think that the notice to vacate was valid in any case, and where we really think that the tribunal should be dismissing the application and giving the tenant effectively permission to stay. But instead, they're making these adjournments and just sort of kicking the can down the road and hoping the tenant will move out anyway, which we don't like as much.
So if an older renter in Victoria has an issue, if they've received a letter from the landlord that says they need to leave, or they might have got a rent increase, or they need a repairs done, how do they get in contact with HAG?
Yeah, so you can call us if you're calling about a rental issue. The best number to call is 96547389 and push option 2 on the menu. Or if you're an older Victorian who's calling because, you know, you have some other sort of broader housing issue, you know, you need to find a new place to live, you can call us toll-free on 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178.
And, of course, if you want to get in touch with Annika Legal, their website is annikalegal.com. That's AnnikaLegal.com.
I wish that we'd asked Emily where the name Annika comes from, because I've always been curious about that.
Yeah, we should ask that next time we get her on. That's about all we have time for this week. So we're going to go out with a song, and this song is from a local Melbourne artist, and her name is Susie So Blue, and the song is called Bend.